This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. When it comes to the state of our economy, financial headlines and unemployment figures are usually only slivers of a much bigger and more complicated story. Another window into how Americans are faring these days is their average debt. Check out these numbers. As of April, our average credit card debt is about $15,000. An average student loan debt, about $31,000. Just as bank bailouts in recent years gave birth to Occupy Wall Street, the growing personal debt crisis has spurred a new movement. KLW's Jen Cheehan went to a gathering earlier this year to speak with local organizers in this story from our archives.
When I walk into the Eastside Arts Alliance in East Oakland, it's clear that this is a special kind of conference. At the welcome table, I'm offered a name tag sticker. You know, the kind that usually says, "Hello, my name is." But these say, "Hello, my debt is."
Hello, my debt is $122,000.
$71,000 from student loans and from an accident I was in last year, medical debt as well.
Got a combination of student debt, tax debt, medical debt, which includes fixing my teeth.
$35,000, $40,000 averaging, which is more than I make in a year, so...
Bill Bowers, Christy Keller, Brad DeLange, and Renee Soto are among the 70 or so people here for something called a debtors' assembly. It's organized by Strike Debt Bay Area, the local chapter of a larger movement that came out of Occupy Wall Street.
There were a lot of issues that were coming together in Occupy that seemed separate.
Hannah Appel is one of the main organizers.
There were groups organizing around student debt. There were, you know, the health care for the 99%. Even though they seemed separate, the effect of all of these is the same. The effect is debt.
One reason it's been hard to unite around this issue is because people often feel ashamed and isolated when it comes to their debt, even though it's something that most people have in common.
So stand up if you have credit card debt. Keep your eyes closed. Keep them closed. Keep them closed.
To make this point, the Oakland Debtors Assembly starts with an exercise.
Stand up if you have medical debt, medical bills that you can't pay.
By the time the exercise is over, almost every single person in the room is on their feet.
Now open your eyes and take a look around. So obviously we are not alone. All of us feel this pain of this debt. We are not alone by ourselves, and we are not alone to these banks. Have a seat.
Everyone sits back down, and then there's a kind of big-picture presentation to explain different systems of debt and debt statistics from around the country.
You've got consumer debt going way up, and the only thing that's going down is our wages.
The presenter is Claire Haas. She's a staff organizer with ACE, the Association of Californians for Community Empowerment. She got involved with strike debt through her work helping people facing foreclosure. And even though her organization focuses on individuals, she says if you go up the financial food chain, you see how debt can cripple entire communities.
We see cuts to schools, to libraries, to public transit, to services that people depend on day in and day out. But at the same time, we see millions of dollars every year being paid out to Wall Street by our city governments. They've given them bad deals. And we shouldn't even be talking about cutting another penny from our communities until we actually get the money back that the bank stole from us.
When Haas talks about banks stealing and giving bad deals, she has specific examples in mind. Like when GE, Wells Fargo, and JP Morgan Chase admitted illegal activities by their employees after being sued by the federal government. They paid billions of dollars in restitution and penalties. And there's a growing number of these cases as we try to figure out what or who caused the financial crisis. The problem, Haas says, is that these cases can get pretty confusing.
We talk about LIBOR, we talk about interest rate swaps, letters of credit, etc. And most of us say, I have no idea what that is.
But she says it's not necessary to know the finer details of the LIBOR scandal, for example, to understand how it impacts regular people.
A lion and a boar together and you get a LIBOR. But that's not really what it is.
So with some visual aids, Haas explains that LIBOR is actually an acronym for the London Interbank Offering Rate.
And so basically what happens is every day the bankers in London, they get together and they decide the interest rate they're going to trade with each other at. And so there's $800 trillion that are affected by this rate across the world.
That $800 trillion includes a whole range of financial products and services, like mortgages, pensions, student loans, car loans, and credit cards.
And the way that it worked is they would get together in this meeting to determine the interest rate, and they would determine it based on how they were going to make the most money. And what was found out is that they cheated.
This means that millions of people were paying more interest than they should have. Even some city governments were earning less from their investments, which means having less money to spend on things like schools, police, and hospitals.
This is unprecedented. This is not like any of the other kinds of debt stuff because they've admitted that they were wrong. They've admitted that they cheated. They broke the law. What they did is illegal. And we can sue them for it.
First, I think the idea behind strike debt is just empowerment.
Organizer Hannah Appel says that once people are armed with this kind of knowledge, they can take action.
We can renegotiate interest rates. We can default en masse on our debts.
And while the idea of mass defaulting on debts may strike some people as irresponsible, Appel says it's something that banks themselves are already doing.
Banks know that they don't have to pay their debts, right? There's been this thing where they know that they're going to get bailed out, or banks know that they can renege on contracts or renegotiate interest rates. But we as citizens have not sort of taken that power into our own hands or realized that it can be ours.
So the strike debt movement wants to make that happen. Last year, the New York chapter came up with a creative strategy to erase people's debt. They called it the Rolling Jubilee. Basically, the organization became a debt collector. Debt collectors buy unpaid or distressed debt at a big discount and then try to make a profit by going after the original amount.
The Rolling Jubilee raised money to buy people's distressed medical debt for pennies on the dollar.
But instead of collecting on that debt, they forgave it. Strike Debt recently announced that it's abolished over $1 million worth of medical debt belonging to about 1,000 people chosen at random.
I think debt, like any other contract, needs to be entered into at a level of fairness.
That's another organizer. We'll call him Mike Smith. He didn't want to give his real name because he works for one of the big banks. He says the financial system that he's a part of isn't fair when it comes to debt. He has a good credit score. But he says,
I could just as easily be somebody who's a victim of predatory lending, someone who has had to use payday lending, some of these more sort of parasitic lending practices.
Smith says he makes a good living, but even he's not immune to financial trouble. He's paying off a mortgage, student loans, credit card debt, and
recently I've had, or my wife rather, has had some health setbacks, which has both reduced our income and increased our medical expense, and it makes things very precarious for us.
At the end of the debtors' assembly, people break out into smaller groups. Like Smith, they share stories that sound like they could happen to anybody. Getting into a car wreck with no insurance, graduating from college with a student loan and no job, or owing more on a house than what it's worth.
And so $1,000 of the payment every month goes just to interest. And the other $400 is the principal. And, you know, if it weren't that way, then, you know, my life would be totally different.
When everyone walked into the room a few hours ago, they may have felt their debt issues were insurmountable. But by the end, I see a lot of smiles and people listening intently to each other's stories. And though their problems may not all be solved today, at least they know they're not alone. In East Oakland, I'm Jen Chien for Cross Currents.